Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Our topic today isn't that gladdening, but it's very important, the 9th of Av. Let's look at this very special day, which is a symbol for destruction, and see how is it related to our life here and now in Israel. Tal, please. Yeah, it's really a very special day or holiday on our calendar that is kind of neglected by the secular public. At least I wasn't told much about it when I grew up. In school, it's on the summer break, so you don't really learn about it. And it turns it into a kind of a day that it's not clear what is its significance, how is it connected to us. There are other holidays that we like celebrating, but this day specifically is another fest on the calendar that you don't really ascribe that much importance to. But it's an interesting day. There are different stories about this day that many tragic things happen to the Jewish people in different periods. And we'd like to hear, does it have a deeper meaning, things that are relevant to us, to these times, socially, personally? And maybe we can learn from this day something about ourselves. So let's start with a general question. What is the meaning of this day? Should it be more central, more important in our lives? I think that the reason for which the younger generation and the people of Israel in general and Jews in general don't really know their history is because they don't relate themselves to their history. In the past, there was the temple 2,000 years ago. We have a 2,000-year break in our history that it existed in the past and then a break. And after the break, we came back again to the same place on which we were 2,000 years ago. So what is the result? That sometimes we find ancient graves, and what's our connection to all that? And therefore, I see that when you come to the younger people and you start bombarding them with these holidays that happened 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, what do I have as a result, all in all? Why do I owe anyone because of it? Why do I belong to it? Why do we as a people have to return to that same history? What? We're not going back to dinosaurs. We don't see any nation that looks back so much. How many holidays were there in ancient Rome, in ancient Greece, in Germany, in France? There's no equivalent. There is the Day of Independence when some state was established or some revolution, but that's it. And therefore, this is also especially how our younger generation relates to it. This is their attitude towards it. And if they don't know what the true meaning of our holidays is, that it has nothing to do with history, that history is just the result of what's happening in nature. And nature imprints in time, in the whole process that it's undergoing and we're undergoing with it. It imprints these signs in it, these steps according to which all of humanity is developing. And therefore, our entire history, we might say that it begins 14 billion years ago with the beginning of the universe. Maybe 4.5 billion years ago, more or less, when Earth and the solar system started, maybe starting with Proterozoic times, and but it doesn't matter. Let's leave that aside. We're not going to demand the youngsters to know about it. Prehistoric times. Yeah. But everyone knows that there's this definition called Adam Rishon, the first man. It's not the same as Adam Kadmon, the prehistoric man. The prehistoric man is the man that came out of the monkey. He came down from a tree, started living almost like the people we know, about 100,000 years ago. There are many opinions about it, where and what, and every year we find more and more different archaeological phenomena that speaks either about 100,000 years more or less. Let's leave that aside. That's called Adam HaKadmon, the prehistoric man. But we're talking about Adam HaRishon. That's something completely different. Adam HaRishon, the first man, it's a young fellow, Adam HaRishon, who lived 5,775 years ago, counting from 2015. And he lived, and he discovered the system which controls this entire world, this whole world, the system of governance and providence, out of his desire on the one hand, and out of a revelation on the other hand. Something here happened, and he discovered it. And this young fellow, he continued his research. He formed a school and had students, and they followed in his footsteps and continued this research. And we read about him in the Torah. And Josephus Flavius also writes about it, and many others write about him. But from him and on, we speak about the revelation of the system of governance and providence, which is called the system of godliness. The system which reveals the upper force, the force which manages all of nature. And we need to think that we know something about it or know it. It's not the Creator or God or all of these names that we heard about. It's not that. It's simply the one force which includes all the rest of the forces in it and keeps, sustains all of nature. It's a force in which there's information and feeling and everything there should be. The governing force, the managing, controlling force, the force of governance and providence. He discovered it, and therefore he's called Adam HaRishon. In translation, the first person, the first man who discovered this. But before him, there were many other people who lived many generations, and he too had a mother and a father, and also after him. But he was the first to attain the upper force. He also wrote a book called Raziel HaMalach, The Secret Angel, which he left us. After him, there were his students. It says about it in the Torah. We also have to understand how it speaks about his students and about him in a figurative form, that as if there was a flood and a student of his, Noah, that built some kind of an ark, and he fled from the flood to the mountains of Ararat. To this day, there are those that climb and search there, and there's a whole industry, Hollywood industry, going on around it. Meaning, Adam HaRishon and all those probably should get a share of the profits. And what happened then is that all these generations that came after Adam, his students, student by student by student, each with his school, that and the system he built, and continued furthermore developing, it was really a kind of a school. So all of them brought this state to the level of Babylon. In Babylon, we had a very special situation. People there lived in a very restricted area between the two rivers, and there was a pretty advanced civilization back there. And about 3,500 years ago, they reached a state where they united and connected that much between them that they started discovering rejection. It's like with us. If I live here and you live there, we say hello to each other from afar and everything's fine. But if we come closer, there's already a problem because each one of us is an egoist. Our nature is egoistic, and then we find out that we can't stand each other. So we have to separate. This is what they've discovered in ancient Babylon. And this is called, this phenomenon is called the Babylonian Tower, that the ego grew like a tower, and they could no longer stand each other so much that they stopped understanding each other. That's called the confusion of tongues. And they didn't know what to do. There was a wise man among them who was their priest, the Babylonian priest. And in Babylon, there was a natural kind of belief. Trees, stars, rocks, the different forms of nature, they bowed to them. And Abraham, he was also an idolater. He used to make idols. He used to sell them. He used to serve the people. And besides him, there were many others like him. He was well known. Because also Terach, his father, was also well known in Babylon. They were people that had remedies. They have what to sell to the people, to the masses, in order to keep them. And Abraham, when he started researching this phenomena, he discovered that, first of all, humanity has to reach these states where they, first of all, contract, and the contraction brings to a bad situation, because then the great ego erupts. And two things can happen here. Either they distance themselves from each other, as they were before, all the people, or they rise above their ego. And truly the purpose of creation is not to disperse, but to rise above the ego. Because by rising above the ego, they reach a new level of their development, where they accumulate all of their abilities, all of their desires, all of their thoughts, all of their abilities, human abilities. And as a result of connecting it all through the good relations between them, the good kind of connection between them, building something mutual, they discover such a network of connections between them in which they achieve the force which controls nature. What does that mean? That if people in our world, when they reach a state that they discover the ego between them. This is one force of nature, negative force. If they try, despite that, to connect between them, then what follows is that they invite a connection, they draw a connection between two opposite systems, two different systems, the system of reception and the system of bestowal, the system of hatred and the system of love, the system of rejection and the system of attraction. And when they want to arrange these two systems, they discover that suddenly, between these systems, that they want to arrange them and they can't. Between these systems, they suddenly discover that there is some kind of a connection. And this connection, which ties between these two different systems, this connection is called the upper force. And it is the general force of nature. Abraham discovered that. He also learned it from the entire process which the Kabbalists went through before him, starting with Adam HaRishon. And the Rambam, Maimonides, writes about him, how he discovered it. And what he got, and what he discovered was that there is a growing ego within us, and from year to year, from generation to generation, we're becoming more egoistic, more distant from each other, rejecting each other, wanting to exploit and use each other. So what he discovered was that we're advancing towards a state in order to correctly realize and utilize our ego and try to rise above it. But we can't try and rise above it because we're solely egoists. We simply understand that it gives us troubles, and we feel that it gives us problems, and they greatly suffered as a result in ancient Babylon. And we also see how our ego is really giving us a hard time, making problems and everything. So what do you do? And so it follows that Abraham discovered that and started calling people. Whoever wants to rise above his burning ego, whoever feels it, whoever is ready to realize this situation. And many people came to him. Because on the one hand, they weren't egoists like today, much less. And they also remembered that they had it good before that, before the Babylonian Tower, before that period. And suddenly, when these hard times came, and they have no ability to do anything, otherwise simply disperse over earth. If you're going left, I'm going right. If you're going right, I'm going left. So they felt, many people felt that he's talking to the point. And they came to him, and he taught them how to connect. He connected them. And so there was a group formed in the world, which called themselves the group of Israel, from the word Yashar Kel, meaning those who are aimed at the upper force that connects them, that reveals among them, that they study it, or him. And then as a result, they can know where they are, and when that force is revealed in the connection between them, to the extent to which they arrange the network of connections between them, the network of connections is that upper force. And this is what happened. And he called this group the people of Israel, really a people, not yet a nation, because they were all just beginners in terms of this work, but for the future to come, a group. People that are connected, that want to be connected, that are working on their connection above the rejection. And then they respect the force of rejection between them, because thanks to it, can they work on further greater connection and rise higher in the recognition and acknowledgement of this force of nature, of providence and governance, and then they accept the forces of rejection and connection as two opposed forces, that there is place for both these forces in nature, like plus and minus, south without north, no one without the other. So their life was the reflection of their relations. Yes. This is what Abraham did. And then he connected them, and they lived together, and they left Babylon, and they started moving towards the land of Canaan. And the Babylonians that didn't try out Abraham's method, they dispersed in all the country. Josephus Flavius writes about it very explicitly. And the group of Abraham, as it says in the Torah, that they moved to the land of Canaan, they went down to Egypt and came back and so on. They went through many, many things. But all in all, eventually, the purpose of that group, its goal, is that there will come a time and they will have to they have to pass this method on to all those Babylonians that in the meantime covered all of earth. And how do you do it? And this is something that Moses discovered, how it's going to be, meaning after Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, Joseph, came Moses. And he discovered what to do. What are we supposed to do next? He brings the group of Abraham to a new unification, which is called the reception of the Torah, where they have to connect on a higher level, where there's no longer the Babylonian tower between them, but Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, meaning in Hebrew, a mountain of hatred, meaning that in order to connect, they need a much greater force now. And then, what reveals to them is a method called Torah. What does Torah mean? It's that very same wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the revelation of the Creator to His creatures in this world. It's the revelation of the network of connections that connects us in a good and nice connection between us, in a connection of reciprocal love, in the way that we have to behave towards each other, which is called love thy neighbor as thyself, or from love of the other to the love of the Creator, and love the Creator your God. And Abraham, which discovered this method, Abraham discovered it, but later on Moses, when he discovered this method, and he revealed it to that group, which is now called the people of Israel, because it's a big group, and it's also a group with a very big ego, which they have acquired during the time of the Egyptian exile. They felt their growing ego, that it grew much bigger than in the times of the Babylonian tower. It's the Babylonian tower times the ego that they've acquired in Egypt brought them to an ego called Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, the mountain of hatred. And then they start working on this ego. And what's going on here? They're working on that ego. They accept it for no other options or choice and connect it in the connection between them. And here they start understanding that their destination, when they discover this great big system, that their destiny is to correct the whole of reality, meaning all the people, meaning all of those Babylonians that actually left them, fled from them. And how do you do it? And they understand that they have to do it in several gradual actions. The first action is that they correct themselves up to a level where they're all connected as one man and one heart. When they understand that they reach this kind of attitude, that's called the 40 years of work in the desert, they reach a state where they reach a vast connection. This connection, it means that out of their ego, atop their ego, along with their ego, they build such a vast connection that it's called a bayit, a home, a kli, a vessel for holiness, for reciprocal bestowal. And that's called the temple, Bet HaMikdash, a home of holiness, kedusha. Holiness, it means love, bestowal, the so-called degree of Bina. And then, when they came to that, they saw that they couldn't be on that level more than an instant, and they immediately started falling from that level. Meaning, instead of that great love and connection between them, which they have achieved just for a moment, immediately it started corrupting. There are the officers, and there were many different parts in the nation which suddenly started getting confused and struggling between them, and really a decline began, and came Nebuchadnezzar and broke the temple, so-called, but it's actually not a home, a building, a house in Jerusalem, but it means that foreign egoistic forces took control of the connection which they have achieved. They achieved this nice ball of connection between them, in which they have achieved an entire complete system of governance and providence of the whole of reality. And suddenly that ball started dissolving, falling apart, cracks all over, and the different parts started falling off it, and eventually nothing was left, and they felt that they're alienated from each other, simply living among all the nations, as it says in the Esther scroll, Megillat Esther, that they lived in 127 countries, among 127 nations, not even knowing that they're not even acknowledging that they're Jews or something, just living their life. They had an understanding of where they were, what they were on, the kind of connection and everything, but it was kind of like we look at history, suppose, like that. And afterwards, their situation deteriorated. Why? Because the historical process, meaning that system of providence and governance which they studied, they knew that it can't simply end this way. That to begin with, Adam Rishon discovered it, and Abraham and all the Kabbalists along the way discovered that the world has to reach unity, connection, as it says in the prophets, that all shall know me from small to great, and my home shall be called a home of prayer for all nations, and everyone will connect together, and the wolf and lamb will live together, and so on. Meaning that the world truly has to reach unification, harmony, which includes everything inside it. And that's called a temple. That's called the third temple. They were still in the shattering of their first temple and in the Babylonian exile. The problems of the exile grew and overpowered them and forced them to flee from there back to the land of Israel. That's what the whole Esther scroll is about, and the Purim holiday, what we can learn about it and hear about it from there. They came back to the land of Israel, and once again they started working on their connection. And they continued, and they built a good, nice, and strong connection between them. Although not like before, because they also brought a new coarseness from the Babylonian exile, new egoistic desires that in the meantime they got from all those nations, from all of Babylon, which corrupted even more. And they as if returned to the place they left from, included themselves with the ego there, dipped themselves in there, and came back. And therefore they couldn't build the same connection as they had in the first time, a very tight, good, and nice connection. And they built something more simple, something less than before. That's called the second temple. But they were also connected, and somehow they got along between them, even though that there were already disputes and different opinions and so on. And again, the descent began. You have to understand that you reach the connection just for a moment, and then there's a decline, a descent of hundreds of years, and the same happened during the second temple. It happened for a few hundreds of years in the times of the first temple, and then for a few hundreds of years in the second temple, until they've reached a state in the days of Rabbi Akiva that as much as he wanted to strengthen them and connect them, even his 24,000 students, suddenly unfounded hatred bursted between them instead of brotherly love, and the connection between them broke. They stopped feeling that wonder ball in which all of reality exists in. And this way they came to destruction, the destruction of the second temple, meaning the destruction of their connection. And again they went into exile. And this exile continues to this very day, for 2,000 years. But we talked about it, that Moses, he already discovered this. And actually Yaakov, he wanted to hear these things, what's going to happen with his sons, and he asked the upper force, this connection, this system. He wanted to get to know, to understand what's happening at the end of the history of his sons, which are actually all of the people of Israel. We're called the sons of Yaakov, Bilu. And to this day, we're in exile. The system, the great big system of governance and providence which they discover, it operates according to absolute unchanging rules. It works according to many rules. There are many pieces of data there. And maybe here we have to say something about the calendar. That if Christianity is working according to the solar calendar and the Islam according to the lunar calendar, lunar system, we're in between. We take both of these systems and work accordingly. Therefore, our calendar is a constant calendar. What does it mean, constant? That from a few thousands of years ago, since Adam HaRishon to this day, we know exactly what's going on, when is it happening, when is Passover, when is Shavuot, Pentecost, on which day of the week, at what time, at what hour, then there'll be sunrise and dawn, and all the hours of the day, and it's all relative hours. The amount of daylight hours and night hours, meaning astronomically, our calendar is very precise because it takes into account the entire system. Because the wisdom of Kabbalah, it gives us the possibility to do it. And what's interesting in that system is that, therefore, according to our calendar, it has special dates in it, special places, in which there are times for better and for worse, times in which the force of ego works more and times at which the force of love works more, because they're balanced, right, left, and middle. And therefore, it happens so that there are times during the year which are bad times throughout all generations, all the years. And it is a time from the 17th of Tammuz until the 9th of Av, that during these days we behave like on days of mourning, meaning that the upper light, the upper force, the force of love and bestowal in our world is really in concealment. And therefore, different problems happen, and especially with us, the people of Israel, because we're connected to that force. And vice versa, the nations of the world that are such that are connected to the evil force, the force of the ego, during these times they succeed and thrive. Sounds a bit deterministic. It sounds deterministic because there is the matter of branch and root, where the root is spiritual system. When it governs this world and really manages it, controls it, then it, from year to year, just like it turns the sun and the moon and earth and the entire universe, it turns them by its special force, then also accordingly this force, it operates not only on these large astronomic chunks in the universe, on the still level, these still objects, the moon, the sun, the earth, and so on, but also on the vegetative level, and we see that each plant has its own period in the year, and also the animate level, they have their periods when they multiply. They have different periods. They're connected to this system of nature. Only man is not connected to it. Man is intended, is made not to be connected to still vegetative and animate. He is influenced. He's influenced, more correctly to say, he is nourished by them, but not that he's beneath them like the still vegetative and animate. But he has bad times and good times, like you say. Bad times and good times, they come from nature, when he is under the system of nature, and when he can rise above nature, then these bad times, they become many times better than the good times that were. It's all up to man. I want to learn how to do it. This is actually what the wisdom of Kabbalah is meant for. And so, it follows that in these times, from the 17th of Tammuz till the 9th of Av, we are in real problems, troubles, because the evil force is operating in the world. And this evil force is operating truly for the purpose of us inverting it into good. But in the meantime, we don't have enough preparation for it, and we don't have the force for it. We're still not connected enough in order to draw the force, the good force of providence and governance that's going on in the world, and to connect beneath it, under it, and to bestow this force of connection to the whole world, to spread it over everyone. This is the same force that also worked in those times, back then, when there was the destruction of the temple that caused the destruction. Yes. Okay, I think all of us know this saying that because of unfounded hatred, the temple was destroyed. So it's not clear. And now that you explain it, it becomes a bit more clear how connection or relations between people bring one or another kind of destiny upon a nation. The general force of nature, which is called Elokut, godliness, Elokim, godliness, and its numerical value is the same as nature. It's nature, so that force is operating upon us from above down or from outwards inwards. And we can do the opposite. We can operate it, influence it from inwards outwards, from down up, from below upwards, in order to influence reality. Yes. And this is our work. Now, we were in the times of the destruction of the first temple. We were during the destruction of the second temple. And now we've reached a state where we're truly, completely shattered. Our people has no understanding regarding this system that connects us, starting from Adam HaRishon and with Abraham, that they learned about it, and in the times of Moses they realized it, till the times of the destruction of the second temple, the times of Rabbi Akiva, and that's it. Now we've reached a very special state. On the one hand, we dispersed among all the nations of the world, and we gave them different forms of our development, religions, beliefs, philosophies, science, medicine, everything that we had, we gave them. It was through the Romans and through the Greeks, and through philosophers in different times, we built the system of trade and industry in Europe, meaning the foundations of the trade and industry of the world, of the modern world. It was at first between the Jews. We built this as an integral system because the Jews were dispersed in all countries. They had a language, they believed each other, they built ties between them. We're talking about 1,000 years ago and 500 years ago, in all times. We're a part of it because of our special state. I come from Italy to the Netherlands, and I talk to Jews, and I go into the synagogue, and we do business, and that's it. And they back to us, and in the small world that existed back then, all of us were in a network, very connected. And it's the same culture and education and language. It's all one. I can come and eat at his place, and I can't eat in any other place, so it helps us be connected. I can go to the synagogue, meaning it's really, it caused the development of industry and trade in the world. And this is how we advanced the world. Therefore, we went into exile in order to give the world the technological development, scientific development, industrial development, development in trade, and religion, religious development. Because everything we might think about different religions, it's advancement. A person stops thinking that there is some force in a tree or in a rock, like before. They develop more in spirit, and as a result, drawing developed, and music, and different. It caused the inner development of a person, his mental development. It all comes through religions. We can talk a lot about it. It's not written about it, and better so, because otherwise we'll be hated even more, because they'll understand that all that they have, they think it's theirs, but eventually it comes from us. But it doesn't matter. And also from us. What does it mean that it's from us? As a result of one's attaining the spiritual inner upper force in nature. But in between, we passed this on to them, and we also received from them deficiencies, desires, thoughts, especially their forms of ego, which we didn't have, by which we descended even more, because they are those very Babylonians that didn't connect to Abraham, to the spiritual transcendence. And then when we connected throughout the 2,000 years, we, as if pulled from them, took from them their natural ego, which developed in the meantime. And this is what we were lacking. And to this day, we're in a state where we're all in a great big ego. All these things that we passed on to the nations of the world, they developed it. We depend on them. They encompass us and are pressuring us, and by this are necessitating us to eventually, as they say, realize, implement our destiny, They say that the Jews are responsible for all the problems and troubles in the world, this nation, which isn't even 1% of the population of the world. They're everywhere, they're in control of everything, they're in industry, they have Nobel Prizes, they're in banking, everything, it's them. And everything for the worse. And that they say so, it's natural. We understand it, but what should we do? And here comes in the book of Zohar, which was written 2,000 years ago, in the beginning of the exile. It explains that we now once again have to start connecting, that specifically now is the time in which the world has reached the same state as in ancient Babylon, where we're all on the one hand connected and we are connected today. And who caused this connection? We did. Because we actually brought the world the method of connection through industry and culture and education and banking and everything. So actually, the connection, it comes through us, from within us, because it comes from the upper force that we turned into a small global village. It comes through us because we have acquired the force, the power of connection back then by Abraham. Without that, there's no force of connection in this world at all. It was a natural force on a very simple level of youth, coarseness in ancient Babylon, but afterwards it disappeared. There's no connection between people. They're prepared to live each one in his own place, someone in the desert, someone in the forest, someone here, someone there. There's no connection. The connection comes through us, through these different forms of industry and culture and education and so on. And so what follows is that we have to bring the right new method of correction to the world. Like in ancient Babylon, where we didn't succeed, to do it today. And today we can do it and succeed, according to the system which we have previously discovered. Then after these two destructions of the temples, 1,000 years BC, and 0 AD, and now we're 2,000 years AD, and we're in a state where we can start building the connection between us. That's called building the third temple. And this connection, from what I learn, it could reach a state that those bad periods, the revelation of the evil, of the ego, that comes precisely between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av, will be very good times. And the 9th of Av, which is the worst possible day during the year, will be the best possible day, because all of the evil which is revealed in it as a result of its inner spiritual root, we will be able to invert it to good, from a big minus to a big plus. And therefore, actually, by that, we will cause a change in the entire system of governance and providence for all nations, for the whole entire world and humanity. This is actually what we have to do. And therefore, on the one hand, we have to have some kind of signs of mourning, that it happened to us the way it did on the one hand. On the other hand, we have to connect to it in a mature way and to know that really this is how it happened. And the way it happened during all the periods in which the people of Israel were in the desert, as they came out of Egypt until they entered Israel, that during the 9th of Av, everyone dug themselves a grave, got in there. If he died, he died. If he didn't, he gets up. Radical a bit. Radical, okay. Seems too radical, okay. So what I want to say is that these days, they will turn into good days. Just like back then, these days, which come from the system, work adversely against us. Now we can invert these days for the better, turn them into good days. And from now on, we needn't any longer really be in a state where we cry about it, and we have to keep these signs, but in order to invert them into good, practical good, until the bad turns into good, and the day of suffering and mourning turns into the greatest day of joy and happiness, the day of love. Yes. So it seems to me, in order to start going in this direction, we have to understand the connection between the different things that happen in life or even in history. There were different exiles and tragedies, and to understand the connection between this act that you're talking about, the connection between us. How can you explain the connection between these things? Suddenly something happens in life, something bad. Everything that happens, for better or for worse, comes from that very same plan that we learned about from the days of Adam Rishon and Abraham and so on, and all that in order to bring us closer to connection. Something very simple. I don't know anything. I just know one thing. Everything that's happening is in order to necessitate me to reach a greater connection with the entire world. First of all, the people of Israel, and the people of Israel have to do it, and therefore the nations of the world hate us because subconsciously they feel that they're this plan, this perception, understanding, connection exists in us, that we can be internally connected to that system, and through us we can nourish the entire world with the good force, the force of love and bestowal and connection. And therefore, we have to realize it. And it's not in vain that anti-Semitism doesn't disappear from the world, but it's increasing. Because really, it's up to us to realize the connection. And they can't do anything. And really, they're not to blame. They have no free choice, neither for better or for worse or for anything. Therefore, when we look at the world, what can we expect? We just have to obligate ourselves to reach that very connection that the father of our nation taught us. And to continue this way. And the wisdom of Kabbalah, this is what it explains and teaches us. And therefore we have a strong organization, a strong group, and we're operating all over the world, all this in order to turn these bad times so they will no longer return in any way or form, but to invert it into good. I want to ask, according to my calculation, we have about 5-6 minutes left. So you started talking about two systems. You said that there are two forces operating, the positive and negative forces, a system of rejection and of nearing, a system of hatred and of love. And you said that the ability of combining these two as if opposite systems, that the combination between the two is what leads to the revelation of something higher, something that connects. This is how all systems work. Now, I want to ask, when you look at today's Israeli society, it's overloaded with ego, with hatred, with separation. All the systems, the police, the everything, wherever you look, whatever system you take, it's rotten, especially because of ego games, and it's deteriorating because of mutual hate. And into this place, which is a system which is full of this negative rotting of the worst possible relations, according to your perception, is it possible to add into it the opposite system of connection, love, nearing? It's the most opposite thing that you can imagine. Israel today is the very opposite image of what you're saying that we have to come to. True, we are the worst. So how is this possible? Because the destination you're depicting is infinitely distant from us. True, that it says that when the people of Israel are in ascent, they rise up to the stars, and when they fall lower than everyone. So the only thing that we're lacking is the force of connection, and we lack it critically, and we see, and it's very good that we're starting to discover that it's really lacking. And what's wrong that we're discovering that we're lacking it that much and that we're so bad? It's actually good. Next to it all, we have a manual's guide of what to do about it, the wisdom of Kabbalah, which explains how do we pull the upper force, the force of good. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the revelation of the Creator to His creatures in this world. The Creator, it's called the force of love, of mutual bestowal, the force of connection between us. So if we'll know how to draw that force, how to reveal that force of love, bestowal, connection, reciprocity between us, then specifically that force of evil, of rejection, of ego, of the very opposite, along with that good force, will give us intensity. Where does intensity always come from? From the combination of opposite forces, plus and minus. The stronger the intensity, 100 volts, 1,000 volts, 1,000,000 volts between this and that, the tension between them, the oppositeness, then the stronger it is. Then you can tie all of reality into one connection. Israel is the country in which people have the biggest ego in the world. Israel, it's not a country. Israel is a people that were on a spiritual level in the past and lost it. And therefore, now they're in the corporeal depth. And their ego is the biggest of all. And when you look at this kind of society, doesn't it despair you that no, reaching connection, love, no, they're specifically meant for it. But they're furthest away from it. Go to Finland, take a few sleeping Europeans, and what will I do? Just like their white bears, so are they going to sleep for half a year? What do you want from them? Besides the people of Israel, you will not find another such bad and cruel people. I'd say stupid, not stupid, but stupid in terms of with respect to the goal that they have to achieve. We're like deaf towards it. Yeah, deaf towards it. You won't find anyone worse, and therefore they're worthy. What we're simply so on a spiritual level, in order to fall into the depth and now be worthy of the correction. But if we correct ourselves, but by that you cover the entire world. You're as if returning back to that ancient Babylon, to that same population, which are billions of people around the world now. And through you, and who are you all in all? You're like a tip of a needle. Yeah, the tip of a needle. But you're capable, by this small intensity of the tip of the needle, you're capable of flowing abundance onto the entire world because your intensity is great. Oh, wait, what does the abundance have to do with all this? You didn't talk about it yet. What do you have to pass? You have to pass to the whole world the force of connection, the upper force, the force of love. It brings abundance into life. Yes. How? Because it balances the minus and therefore creates a harmonious system that's in connection, friendship. We have to finish, but just one sentence that I want to understand. The day of mourning will turn into the day of happiness and joy, the day of love. So in the prophets, according to your perception, what will make the 9th of Av into the day of love? It's up to us. How? By bringing to this day of darkness, where its spiritual root is complete darkness, it's a day on which all the destructions took place, it's the shattering of the tables, and the first and second temple, and plenty of bad things happened on this day throughout history. And you bring into this the force of connection, meaning all of these bad things, you correct them, and then you build the so-called Tower of God. You raise humanity onto an ideal connection, and then our entire world rises to the level of the upper spiritual world, and all of us rise to eternity, to the next dimension. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thanks, Tal. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.